Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be sad because 2 out of 3 certainly is not bad. I mean, in any sport you play, be it batting average, being shooting percentage, still 66%. That's pretty high, ladies and gentlemen. In a while, but we returned again. Let's get started. We always get started. Greetings inside you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest, greatest, and up-to-date edition of Pod is War. Baby, that's right. We're right back like we left it. I know there's been a little bit of situations and circumstances surrounding this show, and you know, it is what it is. But the bottom line is we're back now, and we wanted to provide you all with a nice show. So when you're driving to your Labor Day festivities tomorrow, you'll have something to listen to in the car. So before you got to go and deal with the family, you got something to hopefully give you some knuckles, give you a couple of laughs, and keep your zen on 10. You dig? Anyway. This is brought to you by ChairShot Podcast Network, or is it? No, I said that wrong. ChairShot Podcast Radio, something like that. It's the ChairShot.
We lost Platt. He literally dropped out. I know he was a little spotty there. So, yeah, that stinks. Hopefully he can call back in. We lost you, too, for a second there, Balls. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was, because after I saw your message that said Platt was spotty, then it just hung up on me as I'm like, are we restarting? I didn't know what the hell was going on. Plug took
no,
the
it's all good.
Today. That's what it is.
Get him back in. As Christopher Platt was saying, it's funny that I jump in. And people are like, what the hell is Greg doing on the show? So, yeah, it's kind of funny. But
that's the 2 out of 3 kind of point right there.
Exactly. But tell people who you are. We'll start there.
Me? No, they know who I am. I'm the managing editor of TheChairShot.com. You see me constantly with the snowflake ratings and the top fives and Raw Reaction Podcast and Pod Is War. You know, before when we had the wonderful Mr. PC Tunney, who is just life caught up with him and he doesn't have time right now. So now we're under new management. We're trying to work it out and figure out everything. And your wonderful self, Mr. Greg DeMarco, has decided to step in and help us. So, I mean, if you're listening, you should know who we are.
You're being way too nice. First of all, the man behind this is back.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We missed you.
And as I was going to say before I got so rudely interrupted by my janky internet connection, is make sure you guys use your head and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official like a referee's whistle chair shot merchandise. We've got t-shirts for everybody, from the men, for the children and the ladies, whether you're 18 to 80, blind, crippled, or crazy. We have a chair shot Chair Shot shirt design for you. So make sure you go there and join the movement and help us out. But yes, as my cohort here was saying, Mr. Balls, yeah, sometimes life gets in the way. Shout out to PC Tunney. Still consider him a great friend, and you know, it just is what it is. So we've been kind of what would you say, Balls, under construction for the past few weeks?
Sure, we've had some technical difficulties, and we're under new management, or you know, whatever interesting little plug you want to put in there. But you know, at least we're still Pot is War. And we're not a different show masquerading as something different, which I guess we'll get into a little later.
Fair enough. And the bottom line is we wanted to make sure we push something out for you guys because it has been a while since you heard us. And we appreciate everybody that's been supporting us since day one and even the new listeners. And we love you as well. So we wanted to get something out. And actually, it's a really interesting time in professional wrestling, too. So we've got a lot to talk about. But again, you've got something that you guys can listen to on your way to your Labor Day festivities. Everybody gets sick of their family every now and again. So before you get there, mentally prepare yourself, have a couple of laughs, have a couple of adult beverages or sarsaparillas, if you will, and just sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is our holiday treat to you all. So, you know, this one's for the working man. What can I say? With the working man and woman.
There you go. Good.
Do we have Dusty? Do we have Dusty music? Come on, Greg. Dusty.
I don't, believe it or not.
God damn it.
Because it's hard times, that is. This one is for the working man and the working woman, if you will, that goes to work from 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, and bust their ass to come home and want something to listen to, want something to blob the mass out to, and just to sit back and enjoy and don't have to think about it. And that's why we do it. We do it for the working man and the working woman, baby. So sit back, relax. You take a sip of your sarsaparilla and enjoy the latest edition of Pod is War, if you will.
See, that's better than any soundbite I could have possibly had. So we'll go with that.
It was. I liked it. That was good job, Chris.
I feel like you're patronizing me right now, but I'll take it.
No, we're actually not. We actually thought it was really good. So, by the way, did you ever actually fully get to introduce yourself, Balls? Like, because we were jumping around there.
I mean, I did enough. It was fine. Chris came in. Like I already said, if you're listening, you probably know who we are. You know, I'm the Snowflake Balls, motherfucker. I'm Mr. Ratings. I'm the how did Chris so eloquently put it on your show? The bootleg bullshit Meltzer of the chair shot.
Indeed, he did.
Well, I mean, hey.
That's amazing.
Don't you dare say if the shoe fits, motherfucker. Don't you dare do that.
Hey, man, you said it, not me. I'm just happy to be back on the airwaves, man. I don't anticipate giving you too much shit today, man. I actually missed you, believe it or not.
Wait, is this a face turn? Come on, I'm not used to this. I wasn't expecting it. This wasn't in the choreography.
No. No face turn. This was that's a shoot, though. I wouldn't go that far. Calm down.
Nice try, man.
You know.
And somewhere like Tony Acero got an erection. Who knew?
It's like Stockholm syndrome. You know what I mean?
Well, nice. First of all, just so people know, the show is not designed to be going out on a Sunday night or a Monday. It is supposed to be intended for late in the week, and we will get back to that. That is the overall plan. But if this new day caught somebody by surprise and maybe they're not used to Pot is War, Balls, remind them what this show exactly is about.
This show is about Mr. Chris Platt and myself going back and forth on five topics. They can be wrestling related, they can be music, they can be pop culture, they could just be, you know, the merits of Taco Bell and how much Mr. Platt hates them or something like that. So
I'm writing that down for the next episode. Hang on a second. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. All right. So Taco Bell, TACO. Anyway, so that's how this show goes. Sometimes it's all out war, sometimes it's more pardon the interruption where we just bust each other's balls, and yes, it's always entertaining to me, at least to do it. I don't know how it is to listen. Greg, you've been on the listening end more than the doing end, so how is it to listen?
I love it, but you guys know that. Like, I don't say that just because it's the Chair Shot and it's Chair Shot Radio Network, and I'm kind of, you know, making sure the whole thing floats. I love the show from day one, and that's why when things kind of went awry, and like you guys said, life happens, and we have to be ready for that. I was like, I'm going to make sure that we fix this first, even before Chair Shot Radio. So obviously I placed a priority on this. So it's important to me, both as a fan of the work you guys do and as the person who runs the Chair Shot. So double importance for me. That's why it's so important that I find you guys a permanent moderator, and not to put you guys on the spot or anything, but the person that I am pitching this to, she is listening to you right now.
Well, number one, first and foremost, shout out to her. And if I could put myself over here a little bit, because that's what I do best. From the inception of Pod is War, my preference was to have a female moderator because, ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time listening, this show isn't exactly for the faint of heart. I know there's, PC culture is really, really big in the world right now in society, and people are scared to say what they want to say. This is not the venue for that. If you just want to kick back and watch a couple of guys shoot this shit, we're equal opportunity offenders on these airwaves as well. But this is that show. But I thought that it worked well to have that feminine energy here to kind of counterbalance some of that masculine energy that we present on this show every week. So I'm excited about that. And that's a shoot. And plus, Mr. DeMarco has not revealed the name of said young lady to us yet. So that's going to be interesting as well.
Here's the thing. If she says no, I don't want to put her on the spot as, blank and blank didn't do it. I don't want that at all, because that's not the design. Let me ask you this, though. So if we have big dick energy, what does a female have? Or do they have big dick energy, too? And it's just a pronoun like an Iron Man match, or a proper noun like an Iron Man match.
Well, there's a couple of ways you could go about that. You could say big ovary energy, which that's cool. I prefer a fat vagina energy, or even good vagina energy, like a woman that knows she's got some good ass vagina. She ain't worried about nothing. She gonna make it work, right?
I don't think I've ever heard the phrase "good ass vagina" in my life.
You have a vagina.
But now I have.
Yeah, leave it to Platt. There we go, everybody.
Hey, man, I have all the respect in the world for the vagina. Vagina makes this world run. You know what I mean? It makes the world go round. Quite frankly, I think we've been doing this whole life thing bass-ackwards anyway. You know what I mean? The women are the key to this whole thing, so I give them the utmost respect. But they're going to get the shit, too, because we're equal opportunity offensive. So they're going to get it, too, but it's all in love. I love you guys.
Well, I have the I have said person on a messenger right now going back and forth with me, and I will tell you, your ass kissing or maybe your vagina kissing, it's working. So there you go.
Well, I enjoyed the vagina kiss. What can I say?
What do you guys say we dive in? What do you think?
I was about to say, can we steer the boat somewhere towards, fair instead of foul? Like, come on.
We got five topics. Let's jump in to topic number one.
So you think that you got me? Beat me down, do you think you're on top? Well, I'm not when you left me. I've been picking up steam and I pick myself up. I'm stronger this time, ready to defy. And no matter what you do, I'm never gonna stop.
Are you sure that you want it? Is the fire in your soul gonna keep you warm? Is this the price that you covet? Did you find the reason that you were born? And if it's not, you better step aside. Because I'm coming for it.
By the way, get used to that bell. That bell is going to be a thing moving forward. We got the bell.
I like the bell. I can smoke a bag of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It gives us something in between points, After months of anticipation, All In is finally in the books. Balls, we're going to start with you. What's your reaction? And, of course, Platt as well. What's your reaction to All In?
My reaction to All In is kind of meh. Like, just knee-jerk reaction was kind of meh. Like, like, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's a historical situation. It's nice for wrestling. I'm not dogging it for what it was and how much it could possibly help to change the landscape of professional wrestling currently. But as a show, like top to bottom, it wasn't wonderful. As we know with the main event, we heard the go home like 10 minutes in, and then it was just rushed and kind of messy. And rushed and kind of messy was kind of the key points in a lot of matches, which some went long, some went way too long. Sloppiness was just kind of running rampant in a lot of matches. So when it comes to that, what do you want me to say? Like, SummerSlam was a better show than All In, but All In has more, I guess, historical relevance at the moment. What do you think, Platt, since you groaned?
Well, Balls, let me ask you this first and foremost. Other than Asian culture, which you clearly have an Asian fetish, what makes you happy? Like, what makes you smile, man? Seriously.
This is not Dr. Phil's couch. I thought we got that out of the way on DeMarco's show a couple days ago. Like, just answer the question, and then we'll have an introspective at some other point. Come on.
I'm surely going to answer the question. Come on now, but you can't answer my question?
It's a bad time in life. What can I say? Now just answer the damn question.
Oh, jeez Louise. And this is the thing, because I don't disagree with your sentiment of coming out of All In, but you just don't like anything. Like, if it's not in the Tokyo Dome, if it doesn't involve my favorite wrestler, Tokyo 3K, you're just going to shit on it. And that's what I said.
No, that's completely wrong, since honestly, my favorite match of All In, if we want to break it down to that, it wasn't Okada versus Skrull. Skrull Okada was probably the best worked match, but my favorite match was still Aldis versus Cody. That was a beautiful 70s, 80s, NWA, Jim Crockett promotions kind of match. Like, as I put it to Greg, and I put it in my review, it was Cody's love letter to his father. Like, that was so beautiful with the callbacks to NWA matches of the past, with the blade job, because that could be Flair, that could be Dusty himself. Like, it was just a solid classic kind of match, and I loved every second of that match because of the historical weight, the context, and how they did it. I didn't need flips, I didn't need work rate, I didn't need Asian people. Like, that was just a gorgeous match.
Fair enough. And while I disagree with that assessment, I do want to put you over here. Like, yeah, that was what you wrote was very eloquent, and it was good. And it did. I thought it was cool, just the, like you said, the historical, the callbacks and the reference, and the fact that, you know, Dusty made his bones chasing the Four Horsemen and Ric Flair to win that title, and he did win it a couple of times. And just the symmetry, that was beautiful. Like, yeah, that was a story. That story was 30 years in the making. And it feels like everything that Cody went through his entire journey, going into WWE, being highly touted, feeling as if he was misused, asking for his release, betting on himself, going over to New Japan, making a name for himself, reinventing himself as one of the top heels in the business, including his lovely wife and his act. Like, that's just a really hot act. And all that, and then you factor in the All In and how the All In was presented and portrayed. All that factors into that, and it was beautiful, and it was cool to see him win that NWA belt. Personally, my favorite match on the card was probably it was probably Kenny Omega and Pentagon Jr., who's one of my favorite wrestlers to watch in the world right now. Like, I just thought that was a really cool match. And, of course, the ending with Jericho coming out and reigniting that feud, that was cool. I want to go back into that, but before I do that, I just wanted to send a special shout out to Jay Lethal and Flip Gordon, because I thought that was a really cool match too. Jay Lethal bringing back out his Black Machismo gimmick and having Lanny Poffo, the brother of Macho Man Randy Savage, walk into the ring to give him that extra endorsement and that rub. That was just a really cool moment. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the Jericho moment. It was weird because I was watching All In through nefarious means on the internet, and when it went out, I thought there was something wrong with my feed. Like, I didn't realize, like, that was by design. I thought my feed had slowed down or froze or something like that, and I had it muted at the particular time because I had Michigan-Notre Dame on the television, and then it comes back, and it's Jericho, and he attacks him, and all that was cool. Now, as far as the card in general, Yeah, it was cool. It was a glorified house show, quite frankly. It had some cool moments. It had some cool spots. Some of the matches were cool. The crowd was great. It seems like one of those events where it would have been better to be there and just to kind of soak up that atmosphere and be involved with that. But, yeah, I actually agree with you. It was okay. But I think everything, how this thing played out, I think that's more important because, quite frankly, and I've said this before, the matches don't really count. Like, that's the dirty little secret in wrestling. The matches don't count because, theoretically, by the time the match happens, I've already got your money. And these guys did a good job of marketing this. I mean, we talked about this on the Greg DeMarco show earlier this week. It's not necessarily an indie show, how they tried to present it as. It was actually more of a super show. So it was like all the non-WWE promotions and entities, they had their best wrestlers out there from New Japan to MLW to TNA, OBGYN, TCB, Impact, whatever they call themselves. Like, they had all their – it was like their greatest hits, and it was a super show. And it kind of reminded me – it's funny that you said that the Cody Magnus match was a throwback because that's what this show kind of reminded me of. It was a throwback to one of those supercars back in the day, whether it be AWA versus WCW or USWA versus AWA. That's the vibe I got from that, and it was cool. And overall, anytime something non-WWE has the internet or the wrestling world buzzing – ultimately, that's a good thing for the industry.
I mean, I'm surprised you didn't just call a spade, so to speak, and just say that the reason the internet is buzzing is because it's not WWE. Like, this show, to me, is literally just...
we're going to get to that in topic two. That's why I didn't want to go into that. But please, go ahead. Set the table, please, and thank you.
Let me set you up, because you perfect segue. Perfect segue. Let's use it.
Dirty, sexy, sneaky thing. Power over all with the love you bring. Spinning from your mind control. Shuffling around this deep, deep hole.
You guys were saying the internet was set on fire with this event, and with many people even giving it a score of a 10 out of 10. I'm still attached to one of those Twitter threads. People are still responding. It's great, let me tell you. It was gonna be Platt, but Andrew, you were talking about it, so let's let you go first again on this one. What is your reaction to the internet's reaction to All In?
It's very simple. It's just they want to be behind a giant middle finger to WWE. All In and the Bucks, Cody, Omega, they are just fans getting that immediate kind of gratification in a sense, because people like to harken back to the Attitude Era from WWF and WCW as the whole, oh, well, that's when it was great. That's only because there was a war going on. So both companies catered to fans, the reaction, the overwhelming opinion of certain people. And that is what we're getting right now with All In, New Japan to a degree, ROH to a much larger degree. And it's technically just pandering to the hardcore group, which, as you can see, like, Twitter went on fire and, you know, as you know, you pointed out, gave it 10 out of 10, and everybody's going back and forth saying it was the best thing since sliced bread, or that it blew SummerSlam out of the water, or it's rose-colored glasses. Like, the show was okay at best. Like, even if Platt didn't like the way I said it, he still mostly agreed on the whole, it was fine. Like, it wasn't great, it wasn't better than SummerSlam, and it is what it is. Like, there were some good matches, but come on, when you have a parade of giant phallic symbols come down and Joey Ryan shows up and you've got 87 table spots and 98,000 false finishes, and that's just in the women's match. Like, come on. Like, this show was just a clusterfuck of everything that indie wrestling is, and the people that people like went over. So just like Platt said, they had their money as soon as they came into the door. you could have done whatever, and they're just happy that they got their way in a sense.
It's funny because I personally, let me just say this. I like Jim Cornette. I don't necessarily agree with all of his opinions on anything, especially when it pertains to pro wrestling, but I like him overall. But this kind of gives him credence to everything that he's been saying about, you know, how, yeah. you know, indie wrestling is kind of, and how wrestling has just fallen so much off the beaten path. But in regards to this show, you know, it's this weird dichotomy that has kind of resulted from the internet. Like, you've got these people that automatically want to shit on everything because that's just what it is. And then you got people that want to, you know, exalt everything because that's what it is. And it's two sides of the same coin. And really, it's the principle of polarity. And if you want to learn more about that, I suggest that you go out and you find the book known as The Kabbalion. It kind of goes into that. And I recommend you just read that book anyway. You can find it on Amazon for like $5. So go get it. It's a very short read. And I recommend that everybody goes out and reads that book. Anywho, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it's this weird dichotomy. So as far as everybody rating this a 10 out of 10 and how this is the, like you said, the best thing since sliced bread and this is going to change the game and all of that stuff, people want to be involved in the conversation and they want to feel like they're a part of the conversation. So they're going to overrate things because they feel like they're involved. Like, they get on social media and they say, oh, that spot was awesome. And then they get 10 likes and their night is made. Like, that's just kind of what this is now, and that's kind of what the internet breeds. So going into it, I expected people to overrate it. You know, some people overrated it. I haven't seen a lot of people kind of shitting on it, but just generally, internet in general, people are either on one side of the pendulum or the other. They overrate something or they underrate something, and they just want to shit on it just to be – people want to be contrary or contrarian just for the sake of being contrary, where actually the truth and the reality lies somewhere in the middle, just like with everything. So, yeah, I saw a lot of the internet praise for the show. And, yeah, at the end of the day, man, it was a cool show. Like, I would have loved to have been there. I feel like the atmosphere was cool. It was fun. It was entertaining. But, I mean, it's not life-changing. It's not life-altering. Like, I'm just waiting for next year, All In 2, we're doing it for the money. You know what I mean?
You turned it into Spaceballs, basically. Spaceballs,
exactly,
too. The quest for more money.
I've never been more in love with you ever, because that was exactly what I was thinking of when I made that reference. Like, I feel like I'm in love with you right now, Bone.
Oh, baby. This is going to be an interesting episode, then. I'm glad we have our potential moderator listening to the new Love Affair Putt is War. Play some Barry White.
Don't get used to that. Yeah, don't get used to that.
See, this just goes back to what I said before about it could be anything. We don't know. It's just called Putt is War.
You know, it's funny. I don't have Barry White, but the closest thing I have is kind of like porn.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
The end is the best.
That sounds like Greg's affirmations. Like, anytime he's having a bad day and, you know, he's not filling up the snuff, he just puts on his headphones and he pops that on and he looks at himself in the mirror and he says, yeah, yeah. So thanks for letting us into your world.
Right? There you go. This isn't really about me, but I did want to ask you guys a question. We brought up the women's match, and I just love talking about this women's match because, number one, anybody giving the show a 10 out of 10 isn't accurately rating a show because the women's match happened, and it was the worst match on the show, in my opinion.
Wait, no. The Mel's match was the worst match on the show. Be honest.
The which one?
Mel versus Christopher Daniels.
Talking about Green Arrow versus Christopher Daniels.
That's true. No, you're right. So, okay. Uh-huh. So that, all right. So still, that's right there. But, you know, it's funny because during the press conference the day before, there was a fan who was actually like the one negative person in the building was kind of going at Cody asking why there wasn't more than one women's match on the show. And I think the women proved why there wasn't more than one women's match on the show with what they did out there. But it's funny, though, because everyone's talking about how great it is, this and that. You know, look at the women who were in the match. You had Zack Ryder's girlfriend, and Zack Ryder's a good friend of all these performers. You had you know, Adam Cole's girlfriend. She came out to his theme song. That's why I played it. And Britt Baker. Deonna Purrazzi was supposed to be in the match originally. Then she signed with WWE. That's Marty Scurll's girlfriend. So they were not booking women based on accomplishment, except for Tessa Blanchard. They were booking their friends. And that's kind of what this show really was. A lot of it was booking their friends, booking Bullet Club over, unless your opponent's Okada. It's, you know, there's some baseline things that I think people are just choosing to overlook, and it's those rose-colored glasses that Andrew talked about.
No, yeah, I agree with that. And, I mean, it was Cody, Young Bucks, and friends. That's what this was. This was the wrestling equivalent to We Are the World.
Really
was. And that's okay. But that's okay. That's cool. Like, there's so much good wrestling out right now. Like, the actual, as much as the matches don't matter, the actual in-ring product, you can make the argument that this is the best that the in-ring product has ever been. But that's okay. Like, everything's not going to be a 5-star Meltzer classic or a 28-star or a 28 Snowflake classic. Like, that's all right. So it was cool to have the women represented on the match, or excuse me, on the card. But yeah. It left something to be desired, to say the least.
It did. But we can talk about that all day if we wanted to. However, we do have some more topics to get to on Pod is War. So one of the most talked about things coming out of last week, not counting All In, of course, from Monday Night Raw is the angle where Kevin Owens sits in a chair and quits WWE. Now, this isn't the first time that Owens has been positioned as an outsider, but here we are today, and this is the angle that we have for Owens moving forward. Platt, we'll let you start, you know, return to your usual starting position here. What say you about Kevin Owens quitting WWE?
I say I love it. Well, first and foremost, let's give him kudos and pop his collar as well as Seth Rollins, because they put on a hell of a match Monday night. Like, that was highly entertaining. Obviously, we knew who was going to win, but it was just a highly entertaining segment on Raw. As far as this, I love it, because everybody was kind of speculating, well, where's KO going to go now? Because a lot of us thought he was going to get that Money in the Bank and run with it. And since that didn't happen, there was kind of a, well, where does KO go from here? And this is brilliant. And, you know, the great thing about KO is like a Swiss Army knife. You can put him and place him on anywhere in the card, and he's going to be just fine. Like, he's been at the top of the card. He was the longest reigning Universal Champ until Brock Lesnar came and obliterated that record, him and his two title defenses in 8 years. But that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, you could just put him anywhere on the card, and he's going to be just fine. So this is interesting. I don't really know where they're going to go with this, but I'm interested to see what happens. Like, is he going to be gone for a while? I don't know if he's got some injury issues that he's trying to work through, and that's why he did that. Or because he did take a lot of bumps the last month or so. So this just might be a situation where it gives him an opportunity to get some time off. And, you know, that might be what it is. But knowing WWE, he'll probably be there Monday night, like in the crowd eating popcorn or something like that. But it's intriguing because we don't know what's going on. Nothing has really leaked out about this storyline, and it kind of came out of the blue. So it's intriguing, and that's a good thing. When we don't know what's happening and don't know what's going to happen next, that's cool as far as a wrestling fan. Like, I can appreciate that. Balls, what do you think?
I mean, I think you're completely right when it comes to the fact that it came out of the blue. So the fact that, much like the Shield reunion from the week previous, when there were no hints, there were no little birdies kind of hinting at, oh, well, they're all going to get together, except the fact that, okay, well, Rollins didn't do much. Dean had an easy match, and then Roman needed help. So then that all hit. And I think that's why that was such a big pop, is because people weren't expecting it. And in wrestling, people like to be surprised. As much as Smart Marks and everybody else love to be like, oh yeah, I knew it, I called that, it's more fun when you don't. Like, and that's part of the problem with WWE last few years, is because they've become formulaic and it's become overly predictable. So you just go, okay, this person's probably going to win. This is going to happen. This is how the feud's going to play out. And it just plays out like dominoes. So between the Shield, between Braun's ingenious little turn thingy, I don't know what that was, and what Kevin Owens is doing, like, that's great. Like, it's actually good storytelling. And when it comes to Owens, I don't really got much aside from maybe somehow he interferes in the Hell in a Cell match just to screw Braun, since Braun kind of ruined his life in a sense. Maybe? I don't know. I don't really have anything.
Well, you kind of stepped on what I was going to ask you, which was, yeah, where do you see this playing out? Or how do you see this playing out, rather? So you think he's going to interfere with Braun and screw him at the Hell in a Cell? Do you think that's how this plays out? And then they go back into their tryst?
It's going to be interesting, because I don't know if this is going to end up being a Owens face turn or just kind of like him playing tweener, and then it's like the long con where – I think we can all assume that Survivor Series is probably going to be something like Team McMahon versus Team Angle or some iteration of that. So maybe it's like Braun's little clique now versus the Shield, Angle, and maybe Owens. Maybe Owens aligns himself with the Shield because he's just sick of what Braun did to him and how he emasculated him and, you know, beat him up in a porta potty and threw him off of a cage like a child, and then beat him in like 2 minutes at SummerSlam. Like, there's a good story to be told about Owens just feeling alone, since he even mentioned that because Sammy's hurt, so he doesn't have any friends, and he's just getting his ass kicked left and right. So unless they bring back Chris Jericho and they somehow find a way to retcon that whole storyline, an Owens face turn isn't out of the picture. You know what I mean? What were you thinking?
Well, he doesn't have any friends because he's a horrible friend. Like, if KSK, y'all, like, I can't really get behind you bitching and moaning. You probably need to look in the mirror, man. The energy you put out there, it's going to come back to you. And that has happened, from getting thrown through a porta potty, getting thrown off a cage and all of that. Like, you kind of brought this on yourself, bruh. You want friends, but you're a horrible friend. You need to do some soul searching. So regardless of where this goes, I hope he takes this time off to kind of look in the mirror, do some meditation, do some soul searching, and figure out, hey, man, why am I such a shitty person? Because that's where it starts, man. Admitting it is the first step. So you really need to you need a life coach. And, you know, seeing as how I am a certified life coach, KO, I am offering my services to you, bro. Look, reach out to me.
That
good
is
job chilling
you
guys, stuff, buddy.
Just to make sure people know, it's Chris Platt at thechairshot.com. So, Mr. Owens, if you prefer, go ahead and reach out to him.
Yeah, please do, man, because you have a lot of potential, man, and reach out to me, man. Let's work through those issues, man. We can do it together. I got you. I got your back. I love you, KO. As far as how this scenario is going to play out, I have no clue, because I don't even know what's going on with Sami Zayn. Like, how long is he on the shelf? Do you guys have any information you can pass my way on that?
I thought it was like 9 months from when he got hurt last time.
So
he's still out
for
at least another six.
Okay, so he doesn't even factor into this whatsoever.
He shouldn't.
No. So, yeah, so that's cool. Like, I have no clue. Like, I could see where you're coming from, where he screws Braun. I think they're going to try to get him away from Braun, though, because Braun seems to be a little tied up at the moment. I don't know if they really want to return to that. I don't know. Like, you know, I have no clue. Like, maybe they do one of those sit downs with Renee Young where he explains himself and where he's coming from, or ain't no telling, man. I really isn't. So I'm excited to see where they go from this, because I have no clue. I'm speculating, and I don't even have a good answer for speculation.
Owens is really big on family. He posts about it a lot on social media. His wife posted some stuff recently where they were at Disney World or something like that. Maybe he just wanted the time off, and they're going to give him off, and maybe we don't even see him until like the Royal Rumble. What would you guys think about that? It's kind of the easy way out, because they wouldn't really have to explain anything. He's back and he's back, enters in the Royal Rumble. Maybe he wins and we don't know what brand he's going to be on because he quit. Who the hell knows? Could that be the easy way out?
I'm kind of thinking that's where they're going with this, because he took a lot of big bumps prior to his walking out and quitting. So I think this is just a way to kind of write him off TV for a little bit, like you said, and try to give him a little bit of rest and a little bit of break, and he can go home, be a husband and a father and all that, because you need that. Like, I would love a scenario where they kind of cycle the guys out, like maybe you get 6 months on and 3 months off or something like that. And they have a big enough roster where they could do that. The only problem with that is, I mean, as a wrestler, who's going to sign up for that? Because, you know, you get your downside, you're not selling as much merch, and you're not on television. So I can't blame the guys for doing that, but I wish they would. And, you know, from a health standpoint, I feel like that would be better served. And they've got so much TV time to fill and so many hours of television to fill. I feel like that would help to keep all the characters a little fresher. I mean, that's not going to happen. The only way I can see that happening is if they unionize, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But to just answer your question in a roundabout way, I said a lot of words and didn't really answer your question. But, yeah, I think this is just a way to kind of write him off TV so he can go heal up, recuperate, recharge his battery. And maybe they bring him back around Survivor Series. Maybe they bring him back around Royal Rumble. But I think ultimately that's what's going on here.
Balls, any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, you're right, where that would be the easy way just to kind of write him off and don't bring him back to Rumble. But with his ties to, technically his ties to Braun still, his ties to Stephanie McMahon, and this whole kind of intertwining storyline, Survivor Series would probably be the latest I would expect to see him, but he's such a big character to them, and even if he's not in the main event, like Platt was saying, like, he's still super over. He had to bash, you know, Toronto by saying Montreal was better when they were in Canada just because he's Canadian, and then he had to speak French at them because that everybody knows that people hate the French language. So, oh, God, your French imitation is even worse than your Japanese. Holy shit, I didn't think that was possible.
We. I can't even ask. Like, what am I going to say, man? He's absolutely right on that. Like, kiss my ass, but you're right.
But, yeah, I mean, I expect him back sooner, but,
thing.
You know.
Don't you take a risk on this thing, man? I'm trying to make it entertaining. They can't all be winners, balls.
On that note...
Come Hell in a Cell, I'm taking my title back. You bitch.
So another topic that has the internet buzzing is the alleged heel turns for both Becky Lynch and Braun Strowman. Andrew, let's start it off with you. Are they really heels?
That's a good question.
That's my job.
Oh, here you go.
I mean, how does the heel face dynamic work nowadays anyway? Because we kind of already covered this in the first couple questions where the IWC, a lot of the smart crowds just like to be contrarian for the sake of being contrarian. Or they like who they
crowd.
Like.
Hold on, boss. Quote unquote smart crowd. Because a lot of these Miller Farmers ain't smart. They'd be sitting in their mama's basement or their grandma's basement with acne, mad because no woman would have them, even though they've done nothing to try to elicit a woman or to make themselves more attractive to a decent woman. And then they're just mad at the world. So they sit up there and they type away on their keyboards and they think they're doing something.
Dude, they have a blog and a World of Warcraft character. You telling me that's not enough to get laid nowadays?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. As a man who has neither one of those things but gets consistent, as a man that has neither one of those things but gets consistently laid, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
Oh, well, look at you, Mr. Show Up. But no, the point I was getting at was very simply, the crowds like who they like. And you can try to turn people, you can try to do this, but if you're putting them in a position of prominence and making them look cooler, or at least giving them the time that people feel that they deserve, I guess because WWE likes to ascribe to the heel face dynamic still, sure, they kind of technically have taken the role of bad guys in the storyline, but I can't really call them heels. Like, everybody loves Becky, and Braun is, I don't know, he has to be a heel just to stop being a joke. Ever since he freaking brought in a 10-year-old to be tag team champions with him, like, he's just gotten goofier and goofier, and I really don't care about him at all. So, yeah, maybe this will be enough to jumpstart him a little bit. What do you think, Platt?
Well, I'm going to start with the Braun thing because I think that Becky-Charlotte dynamic is infinitely more interesting. So I'm going to get to that momentarily. But to talk about Braun, what has Braun ever done to be a babyface? I feel like the only reason that he became a babyface is because he was a opposition of to Roman. Like, he was the IWC's answer to Roman. And I think that's why they cheered for him. But, I mean, what has he really done to be a face? I mean, off the top of my head, this is just the people I can think of just off the top of my head. He has attempted to murder. He's attempted homicides versus Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, Sin Cara, Jinder Mahal, the healthy Singh brother. I can't tell them apart, but the healthy one. And that's just off the top of my head. He's tried to kill all five of these men. What has he done to be a babyface other than not be Roman? Like, I think that's all that he's done, not to be a babyface. And then even when he was going to cash in the Money in the Bank, he tried to present it as if it was some noble gesture. Oh, I'm going to tell you to your face. But you still tried to cash it in after they had already had grueling matches. Like, he tried to cash it in at SummerSlam versus Roman and Brock Lesnar, and they beat the holy hell out of each other. And then the next night on Raw, Roman has a 30-minute match with Finn Bálor, and then he tries to cash in after that. Like, and he's trying to present it like that's some sort of noble gesture. Well, I mean, they just wrestled, man, and you're about to cash in. Like, dude, come on, man. Like, if you really want to prove that you're the big man with the big balls on campus, then you cash in and make it a triple threat. Like, he has not exhibited quintessential babyface behavior at any point in time. Like, I just, you know, I don't get that. Now, as far as him aligning with Dolph Ziggler and McIntyre, that makes perfect sense because it seems as if they're going to kind of make the Shield the feature. They're going to build Raw around the Shield. So that makes sense. You got to go in there. You got to have a crew so they can do some things with that. But the Becky Lynch and Charlotte thing, this is way more interesting to me. And I heard a little birdie told me that initially the plan was to turn Becky Lynch heel. But now they're going to kind of play it to that gray area. And I think that's interesting. It's not typical wrestling because you got to have that face heel dynamic. But really, when you look at it, man, we're blurring that line, but there's not really a heel in this particular scenario. Like, you can't say Becky Lynch is a heel. Like, she's completely justified for how she feels. I mean, she came out, she got buried. She busted her ass, and she got win after win after win, and she built this momentum, which we didn't even realize that was the story they were telling until she got to the Carmella match. She finally beats Carmella, earns her shot at SummerSlam, and she's thinking, well, this is my time to shine. I've been buried, and I've been forgotten about. I'm the forgotten horsewoman. And now I've worked my way back into the title scene, into the title picture. I've got Carmella one-on-one. I've already beaten her. Everybody knows she ain't shit in the ring. This is my time to shine. This is my moment. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes my best friend introducing herself into my business, and now she's in the match, and she's in the triple threat. And not only does she cost me the match because I had Carmella dead to rights. I had her in a submission. It was only a matter of time before she tapped. So not only did she cost me the match, but she pins me to win the title. Like, there's not a lot of heel right there. Like, she's completely justified in the way that she snapped. But on the same token, you look at Charlotte, she's saying, well, it's not my fault. I'm that bitch. Like, you know what I mean? I'm the melon farmer. Like, I am the women's division. I'm the standard bearer. I am who I am. It's not my fault that my father is Ric Flair. Woo! It's not my fault that I go out every night, I bust my ass, and I'm just that bitch. Like, that's not my fault. So how can you get mad at me about that? So it's a very real storyline, and it's very great. Like, they're best friends clashing at the top and clashing over the title. That's a very – like, that's something you can sink your teeth into, and that's a very relatable storyline. So I don't really think that there's a face-heel dynamic here. I think it's just, you know, who you choose to side with.
Makes sense. It's real life, and I think that's what WWE has been going for a while. It's kind of like we could talk about Roman Reigns, see a face or a heel. We've talked that topic to death, but it's all the same stuff. And I'll pose this to you guys, and maybe we'll let Platt start this time. Who cares more about who's a face and who's a heel, the WWE or the fans online?
The fans online. Even though they have no idea what they're talking about, but it's the fans online. Because like you said, Greg, WWE has been kind of playing with this shades of gray thing for a while now. And that makes sense because, you know, in combat sports, they don't necessarily have a fleshed out face or a fleshed out heel. And I think it kind of plays to where we're at in society. Like, there's society is just shades of gray. So, I think that fans care more than WWE cares. They don't care as long as they're getting that bread. As long as they're getting the bag, I don't really think they give a damn.
Now there I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to say it's WWE. And it's just simply for this answer, and, you know, you can disagree all you like. But I think it's the WWE because it's easier to write a story that way. And my biggest example that I can use for that just a few months ago was Nia Jax. Like, you had her as the victim being bullied by Alexa. Then you had her overcome Alexa's bullying and stand up for fat kids everywhere, people that get picked on, or whatever her speech was afterwards. And then literally the next day or whatever, the next time she's on television, she's bullying Ronda and she's picking at her, saying, oh, she's smaller and, you know, she's never had a match with a woman as big as she is and as strong as she is. So, you know, her shit's not going to work, and beating the crap out of her friends and, you know, injuring Natty and then trying to play concerned. And then suddenly it goes away. And then after the match, then they're all friends again. And I think it's just strictly easier for WWE if they assign someone face and heel dynamics, because their writers are not wrestling writers. They're not people that were in the God damn it. Come on. Words in the industry.
Get it together. Come on, man. Put the bottle down. Yeah.
In the industry for, you know, any time. They're fresh out of college. They're just no TV writing or script writing or whatever it is that they do. And you need a bad guy. You need a protagonist. You need an antagonist. And the best way to write one is to, you know, make one good, make one bad. And it's simple as shit, because you never see the IWC go, yeah, in that Naito-Okada match, Naito played the heel. But, you know, Okada was more of a tweener because the people were booing and he only got 50%, you know, boos and cheers. And then, but no, Naito played predominantly heel through the match. Nobody fucking says that. So I think it's really just WWE's writers need the protagonist-antagonist dynamic just to try to write some kind of cognizant or story for the week and then forget about it the next week.
You know, Balls, I love it when you inadvertently prove my point and think you're saying something very profound, because that's really what you did here. Like, Nia Jax went from a face to a heel in a matter of a month and a half's worth of time, right? Depending on where the storyline lied. So you kind of proving my point here, talking about they're kind of playing around with these shades of gray. And at the end of the day, you know, whether you cheer, whether you boo, I think the reaction is the most important thing. And I think that's what they're going for. Because, I mean, if we go with real life, I mean, there, how many pure white meat baby faces and pure heels do we really have in life? Like, life is shades of gray. And I think they're kind of playing around with that. And you proved my point with the Nia thing. Like, yes, she was a face going into the WrestleMania match because she was getting bullied by the mean pretty girls and all this and that. And then she came to the, you know, to the Ronda Rousey match, and she became a heel. She became the big, bad, mean heel that Ronda had to overcome.
Sure, the shades of gray aspect, but that wasn't something that the IWC was mentioning. It was still something that the WWE writers were focusing on because they had to progress the storyline. So, sure, shades of gray, I get, because I agree. There's no such thing as good and evil, just two different sides with opposing views in life. I agree with that concept, but when it comes down to who needs there to be a dynamic, the IWC or WWE, I'm still thinking it's more WWE than the IWC.
Okay, so before we move on, one more thing? Okay, yeah, before we move on, I know we got to move on, but okay, so going back to the Charlotte Becky situation, in your humble opinion, or in your astute opinion, I say that as I roll my eyes, who do you see as the face?
I can hear them
and
roll.
Who do you see as the heel? Yeah. Who do you see as the face and the heel in this situation?
Well, it's much like your little birdie told you. Becky was supposed to be the heel because Charlotte was supposed to get sympathy because she got her ass kicked after technically a fair victory. Like, it's a free-for-all. It's, you know, there's no teams. three women against each other. Anybody could win that match. And Charlotte took advantage of the situation because Becky turned her back. So the way the story was presenting itself initially, Charlotte was supposed to be the face in peril, I'm pretty sure. And now, because of the fact that the crowd is refusing to turn and it just looks weird when everybody's cheering the person beating the shit out of the standard bearer and the face of the women's franchise, like, yeah, I guess it's a good thing to play gray now, because it's a bad look kind of thing. But real quick, before you kind of give your two cents, I just have to say this much. Between SummerSlam and last week, Carmella actually put on a really fucking good match. Like, she went from the Staten Island princess ex-cheerleader who couldn't do shit in the ring and just looked bad and just could run her mouth to, I was actually really fucking impressed. Like, she actually kind of outshined the, you know, Charlotte and Becky a little bit in the three-way, and she held her own on SmackDown. So, good look for fucking Carmella. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, good for her.
That's fair. She was a
S-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
Yes. Diamonds on my neck. Just
I forgot
so
he
fabulous.
Had that.
Yes. And shout out to Becky Lynch's heel face, too. Like, she'd be walking around looking like somebody farted in her mouth. Like, that just tickles me. It does. It tickles me.
I will say this, and this is – I used to have a phrase that would piss Patrick off when I used it on air, talking about wins and losses, and I used to always say the same thing, and it kind of plays in when Platt said the matches sometimes don't really matter. I used to always tell him, wins and losses don't matter except when they matter, and that's kind of how I look at faces and heels right now. Faces and heels don't matter except when they matter, and it's all about the story you're telling. You know, The Miz and Daniel Bryan, that's a face-heel dynamic that matters. Becky and Charlotte, I don't think it matters. Roman Reigns, I don't think it matters. Braun, I don't think it matters, because they're just in that gray area, and it is real life, just like you guys said. So very astute points.
It is. And look at, like you said, they don't have a lot of – I mean, they do have wrestlers there, but they have a lot of, you know, writers that have come from the TV background. And look at some of the biggest characters in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years on television. You got guys like Don Draper, like Walter White, like Stringer Bell. These are all characters that, you know, they had their own charm and charisma, but they weren't necessarily good guys. But there was a lot of shades of gray. They were very complicated characters. Like, that's what sells right now. The complicated character. And I think that's more the true life, because sometimes we're the face, sometimes we're the heel. We all like to look at it like we're the face in our own storyline. And, you know, that's how we're going to look at it because of, you know, confirmation bias. But at the same time, sometimes we're the face, sometimes we're the heel. Like, and I think that's just more true to life. It's not traditional wrestling. That's not traditionally how you make the money. But at the same time, Fox just gave them the bag. So you can't really say what they're doing isn't working.
And those writers, by the way, those Hollywood writers, they report to Stephanie McMahon, the Road Dog Jesse James, and Michael P.S. Hayes. So there's still wrestling people involved at the end of the day, and Vince still has final approval over everything, as you know, along with Triple H. So, yeah, they're writing it, but it still has to go through those filters in the end. And I think people lose sight of that sometimes when they always kind of blame the Hollywood writers. But let's step away from the world of professional wrestling and talk a little bit of a non-wrestling topic.
Gotta concentrate against the clock, I race. Got no time to waste, I'm already late. I got a marathoner's pace. Went from addict to a workaholic. Word to Dr. Dre and that first marijuana tape. Guess I got a chronic case. And I ain't just blowing smoke. Let this in your mama's face. I know this time Paul and Dre, they won't tell me what not to say. And know me and my party days have all pretty much parted ways. You swear to God, I forgot I'm the God that made not afraid. One last time for Charlemagne. If my response is late, it's just how long it takes to hit my fucking radar. I'm so far away. These rappers are like Hunger Games. 1 minute they're mocking Jay. Next minute they get the stop of me. Goes so they copy Drake. Maybe I just don't know when to turn around and walk away. But all the hate, I call it walk on Watergate. I've had as much as I can tolerate. I'm sick and tired of waiting. I done lost my patience. I can take all of you motherfuckers on it. Once you want it shady, you got it.
So Eminem shocked everyone when his album dropped late last week, unbeknownst to most. Now, I know you've both listened to it, and Platt, as the resident hip-hop aficionado, our sommelier of hip-hop, if you will. What do you think of this strategy and the album itself?
Well, a lot of people have been doing this recently. Most notably is Beyonce. She dropped a surprise album about 2 or 3 years ago, and then she did it again this summer, her and her husband. They dropped a surprise album. So that's kind of in vogue right now. It's kind of just bringing an album out of nowhere. The traditionalist in me, I miss the days where you had the – it's kind of like wrestling. I miss the days where you have the anticipation and allow that to build when you know, well, X artist is dropping on this date. I miss that, and I'm old school, so I miss going to the record store or to go grab the tape or the CD and ripping open the CD case and reading the credits and all of that. So I do miss that, but that's the new world we live in, and it's a really good way. It's a solid strategy to make a splash. And this particular album, I've listened to it a few times now, and I feel like he was kind of responding to some of his critics, because his last album that dropped, goodness, when was that? I can't remember when it was. It wasn't that long ago, but a lot of people had a lot to say about that album, and I felt like this was his response to that, which he's an artist, and artists are sensitive. So I like that, and I also like when the OGs always step in and critique the new scene in rap, and they say, well, you know, this is bullshit, and we need to get back to the old days. Like, I always dig that as well. But yeah, overall, it was an entertaining album. And anytime Eminem drops an album, because I'm a lyric guy, so anytime he drops an album, I'm going to give him a courtesy listen, just because I love lyrics and he's one of the top-notch lyricists in the game. So overall, there was some filler on the album, but I thought it was a good album overall, and I liked the message, and I liked the fact that he wasn't scared to call people out, and he called them by their names, which we kind of heard in that clip, a couple names out there. So this is good. Overall, this is good for the genre, because hip-hop is like wrestling in a lot of forms. And it's a competitive sport, and it's a combat sport, and it's not for the weak of heart. So, you know, I'm hoping the people that he called out, they got in the lab, they got their pen in their pad, and they get their responses together, because ultimately I think that's healthy for the genre. Balls, do you have anything to say, or do you want me to keep talking?
No, I wasn't sure if you wanted to extrapolate further, because this is more your territory than mine, just because, you know, everybody likes Eminem, everybody knows Eminem from the older stuff, but, you know, I haven't really followed hip-hop much because of the new scene and the mumble rappers and all that other crap that's come out that they try to pass off as music. So I'm not really a big fan, but it's funny that you bring up the wrestling dynamic and the comparison, because this is very similar to what we see a lot, at least definitely from Jericho and from a bunch of other people, just randomly popping in, you know, not dropping any kind of hints, not letting people know so they can spoil it, nothing like that. Even maybe even saying you're not doing anything just to do it and to catch people off guard. So the big splash aspect seems to be in vogue in more than just hip hop. And it's funny how that kind of correlates. So that I just thought that was a fun analogy that you kind of walked into, which I appreciated. And yeah, I've listened to a few of the songs off of the album. It's really good. It's more Shady than it is Eminem. So it's nice that it's not slower and reflective on how he is now. And it's more just pissed off, angry Eminem that we all loved back in, you know, the early 2000s. So it's a nice throwback, and the surprise always makes it a little bit better.
And again, I just like when the OGs come in and they critique the current state of the genre. It's a little bit Gran Torino in a little way, like it's kind of get off my lawn. But at the same time, like, the music has kind of gotten off course, and I don't necessarily blame the artist. The problem is that you've got a lot of people in hip hop right now that aren't familiar with the culture, don't know the culture, don't even particularly care for the culture, but they're the ones making the decisions, which to me, that just seems bass ackwards. Like, how are you going to have somebody critiquing hip hop and trying to tell people what's hot and what they should be doing, and they know nothing about it? But that happens with every music, man. Once the machine realizes that they can make some money off of it, they're going to come in and they're going to make the money and they're going to extrapolate all the money and they're going to kind of squeeze the juice out the orange, and they're going to squeeze it for all it's worth. And then once they squeeze all the juice and it's a dead genre, you know, they move on to the next thing. That's just kind of how this works.
Hey, you're completely right. Like no genre is safe from the machine.
No, because, I mean, they've done it to all of them, and it sucks. It really does. Like, I hate to be that guy, but it is.
You're completely right. There's reasons why I only listen to 80s bands still when they release new stuff.
It's so funny. Rare on this show do you ever hear someone utter the phrase, you're completely right. So it's very good. You guys should hug. Like, I feel like this week you guys have like fallen in love all over again between the two shows you've been on. It's very impressive. I'm almost proud.
See, Greg, you're just bringing us together. Oh, this is sweet. You are like our Dr. Phil. Oh, my God.
Maybe.
You are Yenta. Oh, matchmaker, matchmaker, make us a match.
Okay, now. Goddamn.
Yeah. Calm down. Yeah. We'll get back to the regular festivities next week. It's just that I guess I missed you a little bit. You know, the show's been kind of up in flux, and I guess I missed you. What do you want me to say?
Oh. The
feeling's mutual, bud.
Well, hopefully, you know, it's kind of funny. You call me a matchmaker, and as you know, I have been working on getting you guys a permanent moderator, and I kind of, you know, put it out there and put you guys on the spot that there was a moderator listening in sort of in the decision-making phase, and well, you know what? Maybe it's time to hear what she thinks. And I don't have music planned, but there was a song that we played earlier in this show that is really kind of befitting the personality that this person has. So I'm going to use it again.
Dirty, sexy, sneaky thing. Power over all with the love you bring. Spinning from your mind control. Shuffling around this deep, deep hole.
Shut your dumb mouth.
You may know her as one of the stars of the brand new show on the Chairshot Radio Network, Ringside Revolution, but she has now agreed to come on board and become the brand new moderator of Christopher Platt and Andrew Snowflake Balls Malaz. Please welcome your new hostess, gentlemen, Brittany Lynn. Brittany, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, but I think it's the other two guys you need to find out about.
Guys,
well, welcome. Welcome. I thought he was going to say Courtney Love was the new moderator, but yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised. Yes,
I'm much happier with Brittany than Courtney Love. Come on, nobody needs to shoot themselves in the fucking face. Come on.
Oh, he went there quick.
Well,
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you did. And you know, I've actually met Courtney Love. You know how you can't really judge, you can only judge people by how they are with you. And, you know, she was completely cool with me. I mean, granted, the setting that I met her in, she smoked a cigarette in the bathroom and left a bloody tampon in the toilet. So there's that. But, you know, Courtney. But, you know, from a personal aspect, I can only bury her so much because she did treat me with respect and she was cool with me. But, Brittany, welcome aboard, man. It's great to have you on.
Thank you. And I was listening, and I have to say, like, it's sounded awesome. Like, the show is awesome, so I'm excited.
And I'm going to take all the credit for that because it's me. Yes, so I appreciate that.
As per the gimmick, yes, it's all the MVP, Mr. Velvet Pipes, Chris Platt over there. Yep.
Yeah, that's all. It's just a gimmick. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's all.
Shut up. Give me something, you asshole.
See, this is how it really goes between these two guys. They've been nice today, but this is how it really goes.
So it gets a little dirty.
Oh, very
it
dirty.
A little bit.
See, this is going to be fun because on Ringside Revolution, you get one side of Brittany Lynn. Like, girls are nice to girls, you know, to their face, and these two girls love each other. But you guys get kind of the other side on Pod is War. So I think this is going to work out just fine.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Big assholes for real, so I think it'll be a good match.
I can't wait, and I love the, like I said earlier, I love the idea of bringing some feminine energy to the festivities. So I welcome you with open arms. I'm gonna tell you like this: you can't have thin skin because you are going to get it as well.
You know what?
By
the
way,
I'm not easily offended, so I like to dish it out just as much as, you know, I can take it. So.
Nice.
Oh, here she comes. She's a man eater.
I wanted to
we gonna have
out, though. Oh,
we're going to have Hall & Oates on next week?
Maybe. You never know. I got you, Brittany.
We could probably get Oates because I think Hall was the songwriter, right? We might be able to get Oates, though.
Maybe. Maybe. Brittany, by the way, sent it to me, and we didn't say it on air, but she came up with the perfect counterpart to Big Dick Energy. Brittany, what was it?
Oh, I said Big Tit Energy.
Pop.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, I think it doesn't work for all women, but I think we've got the area covered, so.
I love
well,
it. Hashtag
well, Big Dick
Energy
doesn't work for every guy either, so, you know, I think it's
true. You know, you make a valid point. That's very true.
Well, balls, they don't know until you tell them, asshole.
I like to undersell. It's easier that way. Then they're surprised, or, you know, it's where I said it was. It's one or the other.
Man, you're a wrestling guy, man. You know you got to always put yourself over, bruh.
No, I shoot low. Haven't we been over this? I shoot really low, then I exceed expectations, but I never job. I always listen to Chico with that one. I never job.
No job.
All right,
no job.
So,
no
you
job.
Know, all right, well, have fun knocking off bingo hall women for the rest of your life then.
Sometimes, though.
What do you got against bingo hall women? Yo, that sounds mean.
Sometimes flat guys put themselves over, and then when it's put up or shut up time,
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
So you don't want to be in that position.
Hey man, hey, I'm gonna tell you like this, man. You let the woman figure out why she doesn't want to sleep with you. Don't do it for her. Okay.
Sound
let
advice.
Her figure out afterwards she made a terrible mistake. Don't do the work for her.
Sound advice, Christopher. I just called you a really strange name, didn't I? That was kind of funny. Christopher. That's really good. That's your new nickname right there.
Christopher. I can smoke a bag of that.
Oh, goodness. You know what? Brittany, let's let you go first. People are going to be used to having you on every week now. Where can they find you? Because they might go ahead and follow you if they don't already follow you.
Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Brittany_Lynn. I will spell it out for you. That is Brittini_Lynne. On Instagram, it is also Brittany Lynn, just without the underscore.
Oh, so the Brit. So, fellas, that's the fun, Brittany.
Exactly.
Without the Y is always the best, Brittany.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Whenever a girl's name ends in an I and not a Y, you know the party's coming.
Yes, yes, sir.
That's very true, actually.
I speak wisdom, man. I really do. Like, you know, my methods are unorthodox, but there's some wisdom in the things I say. What can I say?
All right. Andrew, what about you? Tell people where they can find you on the social media.
You could find me on the Twitter at IWC Warchief. And as I usually plug for Pot is War, if you want to scream at anybody or just make rude comments or, you know, send lewd pictures, I'll forward them to Platt, whatever, you know, send it to AndrewBelez@thechairshot.com and we'll have some fun with those.
Of course, you can find me at Chairshot Greg and all your forms of social media, GregDeMarco@thechairshot.com. I feel like Brittany now produces two shows for this. Now, you might have to get your own email address, Brittany. Like it might be time to give you
yeah,
Chairshot email.
I think so.
Make you official. Well, we got a lot of big personalities here, and you know, we'll make changes here and there, but some things should always stay the same, and that includes how we close the program.
You think this song is about you, don't you? Great job this week, guys. Seriously, excellent. Maybe I shouldn't tell you guys great job. Maybe I should leave that up to Brittany and make her decide if it was a great job.
Yeah, it's up to her now.
Yeah, it's up to you, Brittany. What do you
think? A great job. I was actually really interested, and I'll be even singing along here at the end.
There we go. Excellent job. Anything you guys want to share before we head off the air?
Hey, smoke weed every day. If you can.
Let's just hope they tune in next week. Jesus.
I think they will. We got a woman on the show now. Of course they're going to tune in.
Nice.
This is
we're
true.
Gonna,
this
we're
just
going to bring
true.
Her big kitty energy, and it's going to be on fire. So,
did you say big kitty energy? I love it.
I said titty, but you can go either way. You know, it matters. Either way is fine.
He just wanted to say titty.
I can say titty all day. It's fine. I love it.
Yes.
Who doesn't?
I do too. I love titty as well.
Even women love them. That's the great thing about them. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know what? If I can appreciate a nice haircut than a nice dress, you know what? I can appreciate that as a woman.
Oh, yeah. You're going to fit in just fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I rang the bell right there. You guys are going to have a lot of fun next week on Pod is War.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.